Word of the day, kismet. Kismet refers to a power that is believed to control what happens in the future. It's synonymous with both fate and destiny. Let's get into it. All right, what's good, everybody? Welcome back to Chopping It Up with P. Scott. I'm Prescott Kelly. Today is Tuesday, March 26th. Glad to have you back with us. Big shout out to Sal Zerillo. I hope I pronounced your last name correctly. If I didn't, make sure to holler at your boy so I can correct it. Jay Hall, Hunter Maher, and Mackenzie Brooks, Mac Brooks of the Mac Truck Podcast. Make sure you reach out to her as well. If you don't, like, share, subscribe, smash those 5-star reviews for her, along with myself and Jay Hall of the Marvelous Live Podcast. On today's episode, if you're watching the live, you can see on the ticker below. If you are not and listen to just the audio version, NFL changed the hip drop tackle rule. Some of y'all big mad. I know that some of y'all really aren't that mad about it. Will Travis Hunter continue to go both sides of the ball going forward, not just at Colorado, but at the NFL level? Hypocrisy in men and women's sports. Diddy got some explaining to do. Dak and the Cowboys are at a contract impasse. I wonder where we've seen that movie before him. That, or whatever else happens throughout the show. You can reach out to Chopping Up P. Scott at choppingitupwithpscott@gmail.com. Exactly how you see it on your screen, but just no spaces and no apostrophe. choppingitupwithpscott@gmail.com. If I make an error, make sure that you let me know so I can correct it. The more errors I make, the more money that you can make. At the end of each quarter or month or a monthly term, I'm going to see how many times I messed up, pick somebody at random who caught me on my mistakes, and throw them a little bit of a cash bonus. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get into this. I know a lot of people are big mad about the NFL changing its hip drop tackle rule. And I've kind of gotten into this space beforehand where the more that we get older, like this generation of people, right? People who are in a similar age demographic as myself. You're in your mid to maybe late 30s or early 40s. And when you were a kid, you always talked about how you didn't want to sound like your dad. You didn't want to sound like the old head. Well, guess what? Y'all the f***ing old heads now, man. And this is what it sounds like. It was better back in my day. And I'm seeing all these stupid, ridiculous tweets or comments and posts. And it's from players who didn't even play even all that long ago. But this is what I think is the most intriguing thing is we're seeing a huge backlash, and now it's flag football. I mean, it's not. But if you want to go ahead and use that as your way of trying to sound like you're smarter than everybody else, or that you have a much better pulse on what football is, then you can go ahead and have that take. Or you might also subscribe to the rule of thought of, well, I'm not watching anymore. Yeah, you are. Y'all thought Colin Kaepernick was going to ruin the NFL. That didn't happen. Numbers are higher than ever now. This is not going to change anything. I'm going to cross-pollinate for a moment, but it's kind of the way that people are overreacting to Kentucky and Coach Calipari. I did see something funny, though, where they said, if you thought that January 6th was something, I'll make that look like a kindergarten riot. The way that if you allow Coach Calipari back into Kentucky, the state of Kentucky, we gonna riot up in here. Y'all can say it all you want to, but you're still gonna watch. As long as Kentucky, regardless of how bad that they completely in like the actual tournament itself, you're still gonna watch. As long as they are filling that stadium and getting them one and dones and still entertaining you, why would they get rid of him? On top of the fact it's like a $33 million hit, which in theory doesn't make a whole lot of sense to really complain about that, because we've seen a lot of coaches get fired for much less and still get paid out. The University of Kentucky is not worried about having to pay him out that money. But as long as they're still making money in the regular season and people still showing up, they don't care. They're not going to get rid of him. And it's the same thing with the NFL and this hip drop rule. You can pretend to be as big man as you want to, because on the socials, it's going to say, look at me. I'm still riding with the old era. Nobody cares. And guess what? The NFL doesn't care either, because you're still going to watch. I don't get worked up about these, like, these rule changes and things like that, because it does not directly affect me whatsoever. There's a lot of things down the pike, the pipeline in this episode that we kind of talk about in that particular fashion. It doesn't really affect me, so I don't pay that much attention to it. This is absolutely one of those things where it's a rule change. I know I'm still going to watch. What's the point of complaining? You just want to get them likes and get them all, everything that you want as far as the attention, you're going to get. But when you're talking about what these games look like in real time, we all going to know. We all are going to know. I thought you stopped watching, though. Nah, you watched. Either A, you're a simp, or B, it's just, it's a drug I can't quit. You cannot quit the narcotic that is the NFL. It's and you're not alone. You're not alone, okay? I need you to know this is a safe space. You're not alone. The entire country essentially can't quit football in some form or fashion, whether it be collegiate, high school, peewee, Pop Warner, professional, it doesn't matter. With the new rule change, though, the original question was brought up by Jay Hall. What do I think? I don't think it's going to matter a whole lot. We don't see it happen all that often. When it does, it's usually a crazy bonkers injury, right? Mark Andrews is the one that they keep showing now as like kind of the focal point to drive home. This is why we're making the rule change. And I don't know about y'all, but if I ever got wrapped up like that and my leg, when my leg isn't supposed to bend the way it's not supposed to be bent, yeah, I'm pretty sure that thing's going to hurt. And there, you can say all you want to that the NFL doesn't care about player safety, because in theory, you're right. Even with the rule change, it's not like they really care about player safety, but once again, neither do you. You don't care about it either. You watch MMA. There's some behind the barbaricness about what these contact sports are. There is an alluring factor of, man, I could never do that. And we use the term warrior a lot. And I've made that comparison beforehand, that we love comparing football to war because it has largely historically been militaristic. Those are the types of coaches and players that you get, foxhole, and you're taking over territory. I think of it more of like a real estate thing. I'm trying to take over as much real estate that you have. I look at it a little bit differently. But just seeing what they go through week in and week out, part of what draws us to what makes it so special is that, man, I couldn't do that. And they are trying to make it a little bit safer, I guess you could say. But this is not flag football. And if you're going to that extreme, you've probably never played a down of football in your life. I know that I haven't, but that was an executive decision because I was not built for this. I do remember this little story time. So I remember when I was a kid, I was in high school, I wanted to play football. I was really fast. I had great hands. Of course, right? I had great hands, ran a great 40. Coaches didn't like me. That was my basketball story. But I wanted to play football. And my mom said, no, you can be a kicker. And I was like, if I can't play like actual football, I don't want to do this. Looking back on it now, I was a really good soccer player too. If I would have known what kickers make now, I would have done that and just made that. But you live and you learn. But just like this, don't put this in this, don't box it into the simple dumbed down version of you're not going to watch because it's flag football. It's not going to be flag football. And you know this, you just want to be the hot tag guy and try to get in where you fit in this space right now. I don't think it's going to have as big of an impact as what people think. Again, we don't see it all that often. When it does happen, it's like the horse collar tackle. There's a reason why these things are penalized the way they are. And on a quick tangent, I've always thought it odd that when those types of things happen, that it's only like a 15-yard penalty. Man, you might ruin somebody's career, their season, a team season. 15 yards seems like not a whole lot of a penalty, right? And to kind of put a bow on this particular topic, you're never going to get this right, right? It's never going to be a perfect science. There's always going to be injuries, and people who automatically combat this with Well, what are you going to do about like players' legs and knees and safety, or the safety of the other parts of the body? Because what they've done is they've had such a focal shift from don't attack the head and neck area to now everybody's just clipping out people's legs because, oh, at least those can re-heal, right? Yeah, but I mean, that ain't... The money can only take you so far when it comes to your own happiness, right? And I think that that's where the disconnect comes from, and where I just look at this at, from a different angle than most is we still have this perception of you've got all this money, what does it matter? And the money helps repay all of these things that you're going through. They help rebuild you to a degree, but you're never going to be the same version of yourself. But you want them to do all of this for you in the form of entertainment. But you got a runny nose and you want to call out from work, but no one cares because of the money, right? Money only gets you so far. You got to worry about you too. Moving on. So Jay Hall had asked me as well, what do I think about Travis Hunter and him playing the Iron Man role? Because he's playing both sides for Colorado, right? He's playing DB, he's playing wide receiver. And do I see that continuing going forward with him? At Colorado, I think that you're going to see it. I think you're going to see it less, though. What, to me, and again, not as a huge college football fan, but I watched a little bit more of Colorado at the beginning of this year just because it was an interesting story. And not just because of Travis Hunter, but just Deion, you know, obviously it's Deion Sanders, right? So I tuned in a little bit more. I was a Colorado bandwagon fan. I guess you can label it. I think that's a fair assessment. I was a bandwagon fan for like the first 3 or 4 weeks because I thought it was a cool story and I liked what Deion was doing. His kid seems like a good kid. Same thing with Travis Hunter. And I think what you're going to see is a shift for Travis. He's going to have to pick one side to be most dominant on. You know, I don't think that this can be something where he can't play 85% of the snaps on both sides of the ball, right? It's just not feasible. If you want to go 50-50, you can. I think that you're kind of hindering his total, like what he actually brings to you on the football field. I think that you're hindering that. I think that he needs to figure out what side would I rather play? Would I rather be a wide receiver or would I rather be a corner? And then selectively with packages or whatever, basically be what his coach is, be what Prime was. Prime was primarily a corner, but also we saw him on offense sometimes, obviously, and also, you know, a dual sport athlete playing baseball as well. But I think that that's where you're going to see Travis Hunter have to kind of like retool his game is to figure out what side of the ball do I want to play? What do I want to be known as? And you can still use me, you know, as far as depth chart is concerned, because everybody's going to get broken at some point in time during the NFL season. That is just that is fact. You cannot run away from it. It is a war of attrition. Like this, all every thing that you want to throw out there as far as the cliches is real life when it comes to football. So if he thinks he's going to be a better corner, he needs to focus on that. Or vice versa. If he wants to be an offensive weapon, do that. He's been doing this long enough where you can plug and play him for a couple snaps a game, and he's going to at least be able to handle his own way, right? He's not going to be taken advantage of unless you just have an elite wide receiver on one side or an elite corner on the other. He's not going to get eaten up. He's going to be able to hold his own, but he's got to figure out what he wants to actually do, and then just be like the five-tool guy when he needs to be. So a Colorado, and even in college, I think you're going to see less of it than you did as freshman year or you did last year. Cause I'm not sure if he was a freshman. I'm just talking outside my ass right now. I just don't know if you think that he's going to be a both sides of the ball player, you're going to see less of that this year. You're still going to see it. But once he gets to the pros, that's when he's going to have to figure things out. Nick Stevenson with the building, with the what it do. It's good to see you, man. Good to see you. You can make it in for a bit. I don't really try to get a sidetracked on the chat as much, but if you're a Houston sports fan, Houston Sports State of the Union podcast is up and running. It is going down right now. Nick Stevenson is the host. Make sure that you check that out. Even if you're not a Houston sports fan, just make sure you check him out because he's one of the best to ever do it. He's been just incredible in me staying with this. We have the same birthday. We're the exact same age. You know, we're podcast boys like that. Anyway, I'm going to move on to the next conversation piece. Wasn't really sure where I needed to go. Oh, you know what? Let's go ahead and circle back over real quick to the hip drop tackle for a moment, because Sal had brought up an interesting point on trying to piggyback off of Jay's original question. And he had asked, do you see that they have to change the rules for how running backs are going to act? Which I thought that we already tried to sort of do. Remember we had this whole thing about, well, you can't lead with the crown of your helmet, right? Defensive players, you weren't able to do that. But I thought it was supposed to be on both sides of the ball. But we do see, and his point was, why are we just making these rule changes for defenders, but not for the offensive players? Because they're the ones who's, you got 6'4", 250 Derrick Henry rolling down at you, and he's just a locomotive running at you. Oh, so he can do it, but I can't. There is probably going to be a sway on this, right? And I'm not trying to be the guy who says, well, you have to change the rules on it. But if you're going to be that reactionary, because that's what the NFL does, they don't do anything progressive. They, whatever there is in front of them, if there's an issue, it's just, let's just go completely the other way. We're going to run, we're going to react, and we have no idea what we're actually doing. They've had the same issue when it comes to legal issues and everything else like that. We're just going to overreact, but we're not actually going to really do anything and really police anything. This is another one of those specific things where I think you're going to run into, they're going to try to overcompensate because there are going to be defensive players getting hurt, because what are you kind of supposed to do in some of these scenarios? The hip drop doesn't necessarily have anything to do with this particular thing, but you can't allow for the running backs or guys like Josh Allen, who is basically a minotaur. You can't allow them all of those things, because then you're putting these defensive guys in their own jeopardizing situations. So I don't know if it's going to happen this season, but I would not be surprised if the NFL is going to have to find a way to change the rules for the offensive players so that, all right, you know, we've taken enough away from the defensive guys. We've already made it hard enough for them. What we need to do is make sure that you can't do X, Y, and Z. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it feels like that is what they would do. Overreact to something that's happening now and then have to recorrect it again later anyways. He also asked me, Sal did, about new faces and new places. Really touched on Tony Pollard and Saquon Barkley. I'm going to touch also a little bit on Legarius Sneed, because since Tony Pollard is now in Tennessee and now Legarius Sneed as well, I'll just kind of lump those two both into the same thing. Tennessee to me is, one, I think that Tony Pollard is a little bit overrated. When you looked at his stats when he was with Dallas and what he was able to do, he had Zeke there. Then he became the feature back. Look what happens when you become the number one dude, right? Now he goes to Tennessee to replace, you can't really replace Derrick Henry, but in theory, that's what he's supposed to do, is replace Derrick Henry. And you're not going to be able to do it. Spoiler alert, you are not going to be able to do that. I think he's going to be fine in Legarius Sneed, who I think is awesome. But this also comes back to where you play, how you play, and who you play for. And it's, Spagnuolo is one of the best D coordinators in football, right? And when you've got him and you have Chris Jones and like the defense there, Nick Bolton, like Kansas City's defense was great, but it's partially because Spagnuolo is a great D coordinator. We've seen him fail as a head coach, but as a coordinator, the dude is one of the best in the game. Now he goes to Tennessee. I couldn't even name you who their D coordinator is. But Sneed is, he's awesome. But I don't think you're going to get the exact same form of him in Tennessee that you were in Kansas City, just because of all the pieces that I just named. Tony Pollard, again, he's like diet Derrick Henry. Like, you're not going to get anywhere close to the same production, the same impact, anything like that. It's a nice signing, I guess, but it's still like $8 million a year for Tony Pollard. So I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense, really, especially for the money. Tennessee, to me, is still just Tennessee, man. I see this every year. They're basically the Utah Jazz, the NFL. The Titans are the Titans until the Titans are the Titans anymore. The Titans got to tighten up that roster, dog. It's not looking good. I don't like Tennessee for anything, really. But Snead, I think, is a good impact player immediately. I just don't think you're going to get the exact same version of him. But Derek, I'm sorry, he had asked about Saquon Barkley as well. Do I see his production dropping because of being in Philadelphia, having Devontae Smith and AJ Brown, Jalen Hurts? I think you're going to see a, it depends on what you mean by see a drop off. I made the same argument when it came to Derrick Henry going to Baltimore a couple weeks ago, was you may not see the same yardage production from him because, like, we know that there's going to be other running backs who eat up some of those carries and those attempts. Lamar is obviously going to eat his, but I think your yards per carry is going to be higher with Derrick Henry than it has been over the past few years. The O-line's better. Lamar is his own weapon. They have guys at the wide receiver position. I don't love their wide receiver guys as much as most people do, but they're at least competent in that area now, where Tennessee has just been a dumpster fire. It feels like they had AJ Brown, but then they traded him. They got DeAndre Hopkins, but he's over 30. Like, there's just nothing there. And Tennessee is just booty juice. They're just cheeks. So when it comes to Saquon, yeah, I have a similar feeling that I do with him as with Derrick Henry. I think you're going to see a higher yards per carry. I think you're going to see a lot more big explosive plays, but the touches aren't going to be there because there's so many people in that offense that they got to feed. So you might see, and actually his is a little bit different because he's been injured a lot. Philly's offensive line obviously has taken a hit because Jason Kelce retired, right? So I don't want to just blanket statement this with it's a better offensive line. But with there being so many other things and with Jalen Hurts, he's not going to be able to eat as much, but you're going to see bigger impact plays. And I don't think that it was money well spent. If we're going to look at it from the other side of the coin, right? I don't think it was money well spent because you could have just paid DeAndre Swift. You could have just kept him and not paid him $10 million a year or so. You could have done that. But no, you wanted the big name. But running back wasn't the thing that you needed. You needed to address your secondary. And given what, to circle back to L'Jarius Sneed, given what Tennessee gave up to get him, that's the guy that you should have gone. It just, these trades are wild, man. They don't make any sense. When you see what the compensation is on some of these dudes, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense for, like, just the pure, what you're getting in return for the player. Some of them are just outlandishly disrespectful. But if I was Philly, I would have addressed one of those. I mean, that wasn't really the talking point. That wasn't the question. The question was, do I see Saquon being an additional benefit to the Eagles? I do. But it wasn't what they needed to go get. They didn't need the running back. It just feel like it was a misappropriation of funds based on what their downfall was last year. But you are going to see bigger plays from Saquon because there's actual talent on that roster. So yeah, he's going to look awesome, I think, in moments and in spurts. It just wasn't, to me, it just didn't make a whole lot of sense for what the needs was of Philly. But he's going to be all right. Tony Pollard, on the other hand, is not. And L'Jarius Sneed, I wish you the best, dog, because I think that you are a dog, and you deserve the best, man. Tennessee ain't it, though. So Mac Brooks had asked me to touch on the hypocrisy between men and women's sports. And I think it's an important conversation to have, mostly because the women's tournament right now, when it comes to March Madness, is getting a lot more love and a lot more attention than the men's, as it rightfully should. There is the hypocrisy that when you look at certain things. So the WNBA is looking to get its own individualized TV deal, right? The NBA has been subsidizing it essentially since its inception. So it's been 25 years of basically NBA writing checks for the WNBA. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and this isn't for me to try to sound like I don't think the women's game has evolved, because it absolutely has. But the WNBA has had these isolated individual stars, right? The Rebecca Lobos, the Cheryl Swoops, Delisa Leslie's, Tamika Catchings. You know, you can name individual players, but it still hasn't really hit. It doesn't feel like. Sabrina Ionescu, like, that is helping the rivalry, I guess you could say, between her and Steph. That is what the WNBA needs to really get this thing popping. There has to be a rivalry. If the WNBA right now, and I'll get back on topic in a moment, if the WNBA can't really, really capitalize in the next 3 to 5 years based on what's happening now at the collegiate game and transfer it into money in the WNBA, I don't know if it ever will. This, I don't know if it's just because it's more exciting at the NBA level because of the dunking, more fast paced, more athletic. I don't know if that's the reason why. But I think if you can't capitalize on it now with these stars, the Angel Reese's and the Caitlin Clarks, and you have a rivalry there. Even though they don't play each other that often, and in college, it's just not possible to do that unless you play in the same conference, which they don't. Unless you have the rivalry, you can't really build this thing up. The NBA, even though the product now has been, for lack of a better term, watered down, it seems like there's too many games, there's too many threes being taken. Now they're starting to change the officiating to at least try to counterbalance some of the offensive firepower that we've seen. But there's the rivalries, right? It was Magic and Bird, you know, it was Lakers, Celtics, and that kind of carried in Jordan. Like, the NBA, I think that people also forget, like, the NBA was drowning. It was a bad product in the 80s. And then Bird and Johnson kind of rekindled it. And then Jordan kind of carried it. And the next thing we know, we're in a different space of basketball, but it was trash to watch for a bit. And that thing was just booty juice. But we found the rivalry, we got it, and it made people hate somebody, right? Whether it was players or teams. And the WNBA just has not been able to manufacture that type of vitriol yet. With these women that are playing right now, this is the time. And if they can capitalize, and if they can make this, I don't want to dumb it down to the fact that they need to put it in the same category like in the 70s and 80s when it was all physical and there was like real beef. But this is where the hypocrisy comes in. I don't know if I'm missing the mark on what Mac wants me to talk about, but this is kind of where I'm sitting at it currently, is because it's gotten more feisty and because they're showing more emotion and it's getting more chippy. Now we're starting to see the rivalries actually start. They're starting to brood a little bit. But on the opposite side is, well, you guys are ladies. You need to act like ladies. Act like you've been there before. No, stop. Stop it. If you're a goon, you're a goon. If you are one of the Bash Brothers, be one of the Bash Brothers. Everybody needs one of those on their team. That's the reason why Dennis Rodman had a long career. That's why Draymond Green is still in the league. You need the Junkyard Dog. You need somebody like that. And the fact that women's hoops now is starting to get a little bit more grimy, and it's starting to get more physical and more chippy, and you're starting to see more of the showboating and the look at the rings. This is what we're here for. But it's okay when the dudes do it. It's just them being passionate. It's just them being fiery competitors. But no, act like a lady. No, this is the arena of sports. And the fact that now we actually have to kind of catch ourselves sometimes, because what we would say is, in the tournament, in college basketball, and we were only talking about the dudes. That ain't how it worked. That ain't how it goes anymore. You have to recognize women's game, because the women's game has been more entertaining. I'm not going to sit up on my soapbox and tell you that I watch every women's college basketball game, because I don't. Besides their big stars, I couldn't tell you who anybody else is. I can name you three or four. The only men's player I can name you is Armando Bacot, because he's my age. That dude's been playing at UNC for the last 37 years, man. That's the only college basketball. Or Zach Edey, I heard his name for the first time. Or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I don't even know his real name, but I know he played at Indiana State, and I know he's got some dope nicknames. Milk Chamberlain? Yeah, you can sign me up for that. But there isn't anything. There's nothing on the college hoop side of the men's equation that is exciting anymore right now. So this is the time. if the women's game really wants to take the next level, they got to capitalize on it now, because women's college sports is, or women's college basketball, I should say, is flourishing right now. But at the pro level, it's not yet. But if you can put these women into that situation at the pro level and really start to capitalize, you might be able to get that TV deal. But as far as the hypocrisy is concerned, that is where I see this, is that when we see these female athletes act like what the men used to, it was always, no, come on, man, be more ladylike. No. This is sports, right? This isn't an event. And it has nothing to do with acting like a lady or a gentleman. We don't say act like a gentleman in sports. No, we do act like you've been there before. And even then, I hate that term. You don't have to act like you've been there before. Act like it's your first time every time. It makes it special. Scoring a touchdown, making three. You don't have to showboat all the time. But it's just the whole act like you've been there before. The reason why you want them to act like that they've been there before is because you never have. So Hunter had asked me to step on this Diddy situation for a second. And I talked about earlier how if it doesn't really directly affect me, I usually don't pay that much attention to it, right? So, and it's not because of the accusations against Diddy, because those are serious. But I didn't know that those were a thing. I didn't even know about them. Because anytime that anything pops up on the socials, right, nine times out of 10, it feels like it's clickbait. So one, there's that. And two, I'm never going to meet these people. I really don't care what they're doing in their lives. I feel like most people who are obsessed with the celebrities and obsessed with those things that they find noteworthy and that are newsworthy, that isn't news, are some of the they got nothing better else going on. So when it comes to Diddy and all this other weird stuff, I start to see more things popping up. And I know that Diddy's always been a little bit suspect because, you know, the game, I'm a big fan of the game, the rapper. And he's kind of clown 50s the same way, kind of clown on Diddy with some more than suspect behavior, it sounded like, but nothing like this. So I really started to dive into it today, and I just thought, whoa, holy shit. I didn't realize that this dude's been trafficking that way. And apparently it's been like the allegations have been starting for about a year or so. Maybe it's been longer. I don't know. But like today's the first I actually typed into my device and actively tried to search for what's going on with this situation. And looking back on it, the signs were there. I feel like the signs were there. You had a song called I Need a Girl. Dawg, did you really think that it was necessary to have a part two? You once wasn't enough, right? Like you writing a song and going out of your way to actively say, I need a girl. And then you had to double down on it. Mm-mm. Nope. I should have known better, man. Just because the beat to I Need a Girl part two was dope doesn't mean that you didn't have to revisit it, man. I don't know enough about this story, but man, this thing got me worked up now. So apparently Diddy's out of the country now, right? He took some flight and he's in like a whole nother country now. Man, if that don't scream that you are, if it doesn't scream that you're guilty of something, I don't know what does. Given the timeline, both your homes are getting raided, Homeland Security is involved. Nah, there's something going down, man. And I do kind of feel incredibly out of touch. And maybe that's the old head in me. But again, like these types, again, the actual situation itself is very serious. The person, I don't find them serious. I don't find them entertaining anymore. I guess when I was in my early 20s, like Diddy was still a thing, you know, but celebrities in general, just and what goes on in their life, I just don't care about. So me being so far removed from it, I do feel a little silly. But catching up on what's going on right now, dog, man, you, Lucy, you got some splaining to do. Nick Stevenson says, I need a girl part one and two are both bangers. I'm not saying that they weren't. I'm not saying that they weren't. But again, the writing was on the wall, and I feel bad for not noticing that. He also said he got to put some respect on four-time WNBA Finals MVP Cynthia Cooper. You're right. You're right. I should have done better. That was my fault. But you know I got love for it. Now, one thing I want to do, and I want to wrap up, and if you guys have any questions and want to throw them in the chat, then please go ahead and do so. If so, or if not, I'm just going to touch on one more thing. Maybe two. It's my show. I can do whatever the hell I want to. Dak and the Cowboys are at a contract impasse, right? And I believe that we've seen that before. Didn't they already go through this? I think that we've read that book and we've seen that movie before. And didn't Dak get crazy paid? Did I miss something? No, he got a bunch of... And guess what? He's going to get it again. It may not be with Dallas this time. I don't want to just sit here and tell you that I know he's going to sign again. But don't you think it makes a lot of sense? He may not get the same deal because when there was a huge contract dispute, right? They didn't want to pay him. Then he made $75 million American dollars for one football season. Like, isn't that insane to you? Like, that's the kind of stuff that I lose sleep over when I see that kind of number, that kind of production. But he's not the only one. Him and Kirk Cousins, both, man. They're the same quarterback, and we need to stop with this. Like, they're the same dude. Almost the exact same dude. But they're both getting paid. Why? Because they're better than competent. And who are you going to get who's better? We don't know. We don't know if you don't move on from them. I guess that can be your theory. And I've been down this road a bunch of times beforehand. I would never pay a quarterback that much money. I would pay one quarterback that much money. I would pay Patrick Mahomes that money, but nobody else. If we're just doing this, and I can't remember the name of the guy who said this originally. Like, they're obviously get paid way more than I do to have their own sports takes. But it is something I've been saying forever is, why are you paying quarterbacks anyways? If what the construct is supposed to be is rookie quarterback, don't pay them and get the best football team, then why are you paying these guys anyways? I would just recycle first round picks and just never, I would get a quarterback in the first round every single year, whoever I think is the best available at that time, and then just stack up my roster. I've been saying that forever. Don't stop paying quarterbacks 30% of your cap when 30% of the Super Bowls in the last 20 years have been won by like seven guys. It doesn't make any sense. But to get back on point with Dak is, he may not get the same bonkers deal that he got the first time with Dallas. But when you're an above average quarterback, you are going to get paid. I have a hard time believing that Dallas would move off from him. The only reason why I think that they might is they probably want to test drive their new toy with Trey Lance, right? But you can't move off of Dak that quickly once you trade for him and you kind of saw what the market was for Trey after being the third overall pick and going for what, a third or fourth rounder just a couple of years later. You cannot instantly start Trey Lance. That looks terrible. You're going to get so much backlash for that. But you get another season under your belt. He still is not up for an extension yet. Maybe you move on from Dak only because you want to see what you actually have in Trey Lance, because they do have pieces in Dallas. It's not a terrible roster. That's the thing. We want to just completely on Dallas because it's Dallas, right? It's super easy. Their fan base largely is incredibly annoying, and Weed In Boys is always going to ring throughout the state of Texas. It's a slogan and it's a way of life for y'all. Some of y'all are okay, but most of y'all are overwhelmingly annoying. And that is why the rest of social media loves dragging you through the mud on that. But it is a good roster. I think Mike McCarthy is not a good head coach. I think Jerry Jones is meddlesome and also just an absolute content machine. And one of the reasons why Dallas might be, they've been better, it feels like, over the past 3 to 5 years or so, is because I think that he doesn't quite have as much of an imprint on the actual team itself in the decision-making. I think that his son is probably taking over a little bit more of that. And that might be the reason why they've at least been more competent. I could be completely inaccurate on that. And maybe that's why they do move off from Dak, is if Jerry's not making that decision, maybe you have to rip the bandaid off just completely. I don't want to be associated with my dad and his decisions and his antics. I want to be my own guy. I am breaking off from the Dak relationship completely. And maybe that's it. I don't know. But to think that Dak is not going to get another contract is absurd. And you can't be so blinded by just how easy it's low hanging fruit to make fun of the Cowboys. It really is. So if you just want to beat that drum, you can beat that drum. I just want to bring a little bit more nuance than that. He's going to get another contract deal. He's going to get paid a lot of money. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. All right, we're going to go ahead and hang it up for the day. You guys can find Chapo P. Scott wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to like, share, subscribe, smash those 5-star reviews for my guy, Nick Stevenson of the Houston Sports State of the Union podcast, the Mack Truck podcast, Marvelous Live. You guys know the drill. Stay up, stay blessed. Smash those 5-star reviews wherever you get your podcast from me and the people I just mentioned. Stay up, stay blessed. We'll catch you guys on the next one.